Welcome to the February 19th airing of Brain Matters. We started just a little bit late with getting this started, but the first guest that Dr. Gunther has in the studio is Carrie, and she's here to talk about eating disorders. So we'll go ahead and let you get right into the programming. But first, remember you can catch Brain Matters live every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 The Capstone or online at wvuafm.ua.edu.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Word out. And it's free.
It is free.
I want to say that.
Yes, it is free.
Tell us a little bit now about the signs of an eating disorder.
Well, the signs of an eating disorder are wide and diverse, mm-hmm. but if you can think about it, it's really just a medical manifestation of a psychological problem. There are all kinds of signs that could represent an eating disorder, and that's important for people to understand. Just because you see the signs, it doesn't necessarily mean someone may have an eating disorder, but let's talk about what those things might be.
Okay.
Obsessing about all aspects of the food, in particular with the people who I work with, and you too probably, BJ,
yes.
but people will worry about, you know, what are they going to eat? When are they going to eat? Where are they going to meet?
Calories.
How much? Mm-hmm, how many mm-hmm. calories? So really getting into kind of the obsessive components about food would be one very clear sign. Also talking about different ways and fretting about how to get rid of the calories. And I think in college students in particular, while some may engage in purging behaviors such as, you know, laxatives, but of course self-induced vomiting, excessive exercise is one that we see so much.
Yes.
And that is a form of bulimia or anorexia, depending on the person's criteria
okay.
and what they meet. Also, one's self-worth is influenced by their appearance of their body. So there's this preoccupation with how they look, what their weight is, what their size is, and a lot of comparison, you know, comparing themselves to their friends, to what they used to look like, whether
yes.
it was high school mm-hmm, or... Mm-hmm. You know, even earlier.
Or I've actually had people focus, maybe you have, on one picture.
Yes.
Have you had that?
Absolutely.
One picture. Or they'll have it on their phone and say, look, this is what I used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You
Absolutely.
Know, like, and it's not the same person.
Exactly. So that person is kind of probably chasing what's called more of a thin ideal.
Uh-huh.
That's not to say that everybody who has an eating disorder is after that.
Yes.
But that is a huge component of it. I do just want to add some other things, but
sure.
eating alone or in secret is another sign of an eating disorder. And of course, checking behaviors, weighing oneself, using clothes to measure one's body changes. For instance, I know students who said, I just know when I've gained weight because they can tell by their clothes. So it doesn't matter if they've thrown out their scale, if they're using their clothes to measure the weight
loss. That's right.
To gauge, very good.
That's right. What about, I've had students before who only eat one thing. They'll just focus on one thing like cereal
mm-hmm.
or just salad.
Right.
You know.
Well, those would be more of the safety behaviors.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's something where you can't go in and say, well, let's expand your repertoire of food right away. If that's where they feel safe, you got to work with it.
Yes.
But any kind of eating disorder treatment, you must be working with a dietitian, a physician, often a psychiatrist, and, of course, a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you work with them on their fear of introducing new foods. And so that's where, for instance, the dietitian and I would be working on helping that person reduce their anxiety.
How about, you're talking about eating disorders, but tell us the kinds of eating disorders. Can you list those for
us? I sure can.
Okay.
When you think of eating disorders, the most commonly known ones, and the ones that we're talking about, like on a college campus and what you'd see among our college students,
uh-huh.
would be in the realm of either disordered eating, and they're not necessarily a fully developed eating disorder, or those that are more fully developed, such as anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, And then kind of this catch-all category, which is about to change when the new diagnostic and statistical manual comes
DSM-5.
Out.
DSM-5.
Exactly. But EDNOS, you've probably heard of it, maybe more in the mainstream media, but it stands for Eating Disorders Not Otherwise Specified. And what that would include would be anyone who doesn't have the criteria for having missed their period for anorexia.
Yes.
Then they would be thrown into the EDNOS category. Or someone who doesn't binge and purge at the same frequency that's required for bulimia would meet EDNOS. And they're throwing that out very, very soon.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be making those distinctions a little bit more far-reaching,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
But so binge eating disorder would be included in EDNOS. People may have also heard of muscle dysmorphia or bigorexia, and you'll hear about that with typically men who feel like they're not muscular enough or buff enough, tone enough, and that's when people would take that to the extreme.
You probably, and I think we'll get to this, or this is one of my questions, and it's probably a lot of people wonder this. Why are there more women who have an eating disorder than men? I know that in all the years I've worked at the counseling center, I think I've only seen one male student who had a real eating disorder.
I'm with you, and I can probably count maybe one or two on my hand, too. But I think if we just look at what pressures women are facing on a regular basis, they are raised and socialized to be valued for their appearance. It starts with little girls.
Yes.
And if you can kind of think about being mindful of what you say to little girls as they're growing up about their appearance. Don't mention their appearance. Say something like, "Wow, what a smart young lady you are.
Uh-huh.
Look how hard you tried." Or, "Wow, you really stuck with it," instead of, "Oh, well, look at that pretty dress on you." And if we kind of just send the message to little girls that their appearance is so important, then that just becomes ingrained, and already is. And you
mm-hmm.
see that in the media
mm-hmm.
where from a very early part in someone's life, they learn how important that is.
Yes,
and unfortunately, that's the case.
True.
So the importance to be attractive is just ingrained. And I think that's where a lot of women fall prey to trying to meet this unattainable standard of beauty.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk about Body Appreciation Week, which is next week. But one of the things that usually sticks out in my mind, and I don't know if you guys are going to do that this week, but sometimes there are cutouts of a Barbie. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And they're placed around the campus
mm-hmm.
just to help people realize that nobody can be that perfect.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. It's kind of the funny thing where they say, you know, there are only 6 supermodels in the world, and the whole point is the supermodels don't even feel like they look like the supermodels.
I know.
So the thing is, that is such an unattainable standard of beauty, and the statistics are pretty astounding about that. So
Yeah, and on that note, I want to ask you before we take a break, how do you feel about the current media influences? You know, you touched on, you know, how little girls are complimented for their looks and their dress and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the current media influences such as movies or TV or music? How is that influencing predicting healthy body types and images and eating?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and there's a... Obviously, there's so much more negativity when it comes to kind of building this internalized message for women to look a certain way, and men too. I cannot exclude men from this
That's
category.
True.
But as far as the media is concerned, I think that there's, you really have to go looking for the information for it to be a positive message. So I'm always encouraging, you know, for instance, the clients who I work with to, you know, find some positive media blogs, blogs about body image, excuse me.
Yes.
You know, seek out, you know, for instance, advertisements that are offensive and, you know, speak up, become an advocate for yourself. And
mm-hmm.
so I think, you know, just being a positively informed consumer, being very media literate,
yes,
can help people be a better consumer and not fall prey to these messages.
Right, and I remember when I first met you, I think you are the person who introduced the movies Killing Me Softly.
Yes.
Is that Eve? What is the woman's name who...
Dr. Jean Kilborn.
Yes, Jean Kilborn. those are wonderful videos.
They are.
And I can recommend those, and I know Carrie can also, because it really makes you think about advertising. Mm-hmm. You don't even realize it. It's so subliminal sometimes.
Absolutely. And actually, that now that we're talking about this, that's something that I'm very interested in. And so if anyone wanted to learn about media literacy, you could certainly call us at the Counseling Center, and I would come and talk to your class about it.
Yes.
But it's a great vehicle to really learn about, kind of helping with prevention, basically.
Definitely. And the phone number for the Counseling Center, by the way, Carrie mentioned, is 348-3863. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Keep listening. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. And Carrie is talking with us about eating disorders. And one of the things she mentioned during the break is she wanted to talk about a program called Reflections. Can you tell us a little bit about that program?
I certainly can. Reflections Body Image Program is a wonderful program. It's an eating disorder prevention program, but it's not marketed that way. But the purpose of this is it's geared towards women at this point only. It's empirically validated, and it's out of Trinity University in Texas, created by Dr. Carolyn Becker and some other famous psychologists with her, Dr. Eric Stice. They're the ones who've kind of put this all together. But it's a wonderful program that we are providing on campus, and all we need are really just at least 12 women from one set group, for instance, maybe one floor of a dormitory or one group. And then once we train peer leaders, then they go implement it with their peers. And so the peer leaders are the ones who actually run the program. But it's a very hands-on way to learn how to counter the thin ideal and the negative just things in the media that contribute to body dissatisfaction and largely eating disorders.
Do they,
in the extreme sense?
Do anyone who wants to participate just call you directly at the Counseling Center and ask to speak with you?
Absolutely. You can call me. Uh-huh. I'm at 205-348-3863. And basically, we're just trying to get enough people so we can run the group one time.
Okay.
And then you go and spread it to your peers, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, so you're basically, let me see if I understand, you're basically teaching people how to spread the word.
Well, it's, exactly, but it's a scripted program.
Yes.
And so we'll go through different things like, you know, for instance, you know, let's talk about the thin ideal. What is that? And uh-huh. then people will say, well, you know, we know what she looks like. You know, she's, you know, this certain height, and her body's this shape, and then we end up kind of looking at it together and saying, well, how realistic is that?
Yes.
And then people start to kind of look at, you know what, I don't have to subscribe to that. But it's just a very, like I said, hands-on, that seems to be my phrase of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, no, but that it's the truth. I mean, you
it
know,
is.
It seems like that's what keeps people interested.
Right, and one
rather
thing,
than just standing up lecturing.
Exactly,
you know.
And the one thing that's really neat about it is it uses a cognitive psychology principle called cognitive dissonance, and the whole point is to basically get people to not act in the way of their beliefs. So if you see that, you know, you've got certain beliefs or standards, we want people to match their beliefs with their actions. Mm-hmm. And so once we create that cognitive dissonance, you get the change.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
You know, you and I were talking before a little bit about how some therapists are resistant to working with persons who have eating disorders. For me, myself, you know, it's a challenge. I'll be honest with you. I don't have extensive training like you do, Carrie, but I have had many students with eating disorders, and it is a challenge because of the manipulation factor. Do you find that true?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
I think I know what you're talking about,
uh-huh.
but what I'm really getting from that kind of anxiety that people might present, meaning the therapist's anxiety,
yes.
it's more about the shame and denial that goes hand in hand with an eating disorder. There's so much shame and secrecy, and that is part of the condition in itself. And so you just have to accept that and kind of understand that those defenses are there, and that is part of the condition, and you have to work with that person mm-hmm. to help them start to let the defenses down.
And be patient.
Absolutely.
Yes. One of the things I wanted to ask you, how many people, is there an estimate of how many people in the United States suffer from an eating disorder?
There is. If you take in together all of the you know, both genders, in the United States, there are about 24 million people suffering from an eating disorder.
Wow.
And about 10% of that are males.
So, yeah, that was going to be my next question.
And that's the saddest part about it is men are affected in such an awful way as well, and they get such little attention about it because, you know, for some reason we have deemed this, and I say this with quotes only, mm-hmm. a woman's disease, and mm-hmm. we know it's not, but it's just that the scales are, you know, the prevalence rates are higher for women.
Yeah. Maybe some of that is women are more apt to get help and yes. get treatment
yes.
than men.
And for instance, there's just an added stigma for men to go get help. So mm-hmm. I think you're exactly
especially
right.
Especially for an eating disorder.
Especially.
I mean, that
especially.
Even breaks down more. What are the causes of eating disorders? Can you talk? I've listed for myself some, and, you know, major life transitions, family problems.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you name it. But what do you see in your practice as some of the causes of eating disorders?
I think that's an excellent question, and it's one of the hardest questions that researchers are still trying to pinpoint. But, I mean, you've already touched on some of them, but to add to that would be temperament, perfectionism. We see that
yes.
quite a bit. Very rigid thinking, needing to adhere and almost be kind of the perfect child. Those would be some warning signs. But other factors would contribute, such as family problems, failure at work or school, and also this feeling that you need to control something. When everything else feels like it's out of your reach or your control, it's the one thing, and I hear this from every single person who I talk with who has an eating disorder, that it was that one thing that they felt like they could manage.
Yes.
And that's the irony, because it's causing havoc. You know, it's wreaking havoc.
Does it run in families? Is there any research on that?
Absolutely. It does run in families. And statistics show that there's I believe it was about 5 times the rate for families.
Wow. I want to mention before you go off of your segment, I want you to talk a little bit about Body Appreciation Week, when it starts and the activities that are planned, because this is a very big event every year. And
yes.
you're the main person, one of the main people who has been very instrumental in making it successful.
Well, and I have to give credit to those others, but there are so many sponsors who are working with us. And of course,
it's okay.
Well, student health and well, I'm messing that up.
The student health center.
That's right, the student health center.
Health, wellness, and promotion.
That's exactly
okay.
it. And I'm sorry, I fumbled
it's
my
okay.
words. But they're a huge group. Of course, there's housing, residential communities, university recreation center. I could go on and on. And if you go to our Facebook page at UA Body Appreciation Week, you can see all of the sponsors and the events for the week. But it's a very exciting time. Body Appreciation Week is really kind of known as National Eating Disorders Awareness Week,
yes.
but we changed the name because we wanted to reach a broader audience. And I think it's been better received in that way.
What are the dates?
It starts March 25th and it goes through the 28th.
March or February?
Oh gosh, excuse me.
February 25th.
Pardon me.
Hey. That's okay.
Good catch. February 25th through March 1st. That's where I was getting that confused.
So next week.
Next week, I want to just say about our 2 main events.
Okay.
But we have America the Beautiful 2, the Thin Commandments, and we're going to be showing that at the Ferguson Center Tuesday, February 26th, starting at 6:15.
Okay.
Then we're going to have a panel discussion kind of looking at the messages that we get in the media, having an expert panel, including some who have suffered from an eating disorder, also a therapist who's helped with someone in that case. But to come to the movie, you need to bring a pair of jeans, and they're called your too small jeans, the jeans you've been trying to fit into that you really just need to pitch. Yeah, I know.
I have a few of those.
I know, we
I
all
just
do.
Can't let them go.
I've had this conversation with many, but on Thursday we're having our annual Fashion Rocks and So Does My Body
yes,
fashion
show. Yes, that is
show.
So much fun.
And it's our 5th year. I can't believe it.
Yes.
So please come out and support
us. You've got plenty
of models,
or do you need more models?
We have plenty of models,
okay.
but I'm sure we could always take some more. And that's at 7 p.m. in the Ferguson Ballroom.
Where can people find the schedule?
They can find that on Facebook at UA Body Appreciation Week. There will be some ads in the Crimson White coming up, but we're trying to get the message out.
Oh, thank you.
Please call or email if you need me to send you a copy. I will. But we're trying to hit all the outlets as much as we can.
Yeah, thank you so much for all you do. We appreciate
it, Carrie. Thank you, BJ.
And thanks for being on the show.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, sure. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back with Miranda Ward, the new Miss University of Alabama.
Woohoo!
And you're listening to Brain Matters. I'm BJ Gunther, and this is 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, this is DJ Kat. If you're looking for the latest and greatest jam and electronic music on radio, tune to Groove Central Wednesday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. here on 90.7 FM, The Capstone.
Hey, hey, we're back on air. This is Brain Matters. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone, and we are talking now with the freshly crowned Miss University of Alabama, Miranda Ward. And I did not even realize you were in the pageant until you came to meet me day before yesterday, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. It's huge for me. I'm so excited to start my year.
I want to hear a little bit more about the pageant because this is intriguing to me. And yes, she does have her crown on, people, and it looks beautiful. This is actually the first event. She just told me that she's actually gotten to wear her crown and represent the university.
Yes, ma'am.
And you will tell us a little bit about, you will be representing our university in June. Tell us a little bit about that.
So between now and June, I'm going to be doing a lot of preparing, first of all, for interview and for the swimsuit portion and evening gown, onstage question, all that good stuff.
Yes.
But even more important to me than that is just getting to make appearances such as this and promoting my platform and the national platform.
That's right, because some people may think it's odd that I've asked a beauty pageant queen now to be on a show about eating disorders. And first of all, you're a UA student. Can you tell us a little bit about your major, what year you are, and where you're from?
Yes, ma'am. I am a junior public relations major with a double minor in biology and psychology. But I'm actually
making my head hurt.
I'm actually on the pre-physician's assistant track, so I don't even plan to use public relations in my career.
You want to be a doctor? A physician's
assistant.
Okay.
Not quite a doctor. And then I'm from Rainesville, Alabama. Just
Rainesville.
Tiny town in northeast Alabama.
Are your parents proud? I bet they're so proud. Were they here for the pageant?
Yes, absolutely. My mom and dad both cried. My sister, my little sister probably squalled more than I did when I won.
And so you'll be, you told me day before yesterday that you will be competing for Miss Alabama. And this is a Miss America preliminary pageant.
Yes, ma'am.
So Miss Alabama, and you'll be competing at Samford University.
Yes,
in
ma'am.
June.
That's right.
How exciting. At least you have a little bit of time to prepare.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned, the topic is eating disorders. And I want to, I was a little bit apprehensive about how much you are willing to talk about your experience with an eating disorder. So I'm going to ask you point blank, can you tell us a little bit about your eating disorder?
Yes, ma'am. Growing up, I always had really low self-esteem. I didn't have any reason to. It was just all in my head, I guess. And then just getting older and seeing things in the media really just got to me more than a lot of people, I think, and it just kept going from there. I dated a guy that he was addicted to pornography, and as normal as that is, I think, for a lot of guys to look at that, it just killed me. I just couldn't handle it, and so I feel like that kind of was the broke my back on that.
Yes, definitely.
And so I struggled with bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
And
at what age did you start?
Oh, goodness. Probably about 16, 17,
yeah,
something like that.
In high school, basically.
Yes, mm-hmm, ma'am, that's right. But it kind of reached its peak when I was the summer after my freshman year in college.
Uh-huh.
It was just killing me, mentally.
Uh-huh. Was there any reason that it got worse? It was your freshman year, which is a hard year. It's a transitional year,
mm-hmm,
basically. What was going on then that you think it made it worse?
You know, I think it was just a lot of stress, but the stress caused me to lose control of myself.
Right.
And so I was eating a lot. You know, I just couldn't control my eating. And then I had to, I felt like I had to make up for it. Mm-hmm. So I would purge, I would exercise, I would use laxatives, mm-hmm. everything that I could to make up for that. And, you know, it was hurting my body. Some of my teeth broke from acid erosion.
Yes. How about your throat? Did you ever have, what do they call them, ulcers in your throat?
Not that I know of, but, I did develop hypothyroidism,
uh-huh.
And I'm still, you know, being treated for that, and we're trying to get my my hormone levels leveled out and
balanced.
Figured out,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you know, the turning point for me was one day I looked in the mirror and saw bruises around my mouth from purging so vigorously.
Yes.
And that just it wasn't me, because I'm a strong individual, and I was letting something control me, mm-hmm. and so that was kind of the turning point for me. I had to take back my mind.
Yes.
I couldn't let something control me like that.
What about, you know, I wanted to talk with Dr. Luke about the medical issues. We just ran out of time. We could talk for mm-hmm. another hour, but about the medical issues related to anorexia or bulimia, and mm-hmm. you touched on a little bit, you know, one of the dangerous things I know from bulimia is the weakening of your heart.
Yes.
As well as your electrolytes getting out of whack, basically. Mm-hmm. Did you have that issue too? Did you have a full medical workup after you decided to get help?
No, actually, I never did that, because I'm a little bit stubborn, and I was still in that phase that I was ashamed of.
Yes.
What I was going through. But I did, when I was going through that, I did get to the point that it was hurting my chest. Mm-hmm. When I would do it, my heart would hurt, and that's another thing that really got my attention.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, it really did. Because, you know, my grandmother's had heart problems and had been in heart failure. And so I saw that happening and I was like, no, I can't. I can't
do that.
Right.
Who else, if anybody, knew this was going on?
For a long time, it was just me, because, you know, so much shame is attached to eating disorders because of the stigma
uh-huh.
in society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the conversation about it isn't fostered like it is with other things.
No.
But I did find the courage to tell my best friend, Carson Perella, and she was...
Shout out to Carson.
She was fabulous about it. She really knew how to handle it, and I feel like that takes a strong person to deal with a friend who has that, because a lot of times you have no idea what to say to them, what to do.
No, and you're fearful that they're going to get angry and then shut
right.
down even more.
Exactly, and that's there's a high likelihood of that happening,
mm-hmm.
and I think it did with me to an extent, but she, I think, changed her strategy according to my responses.
Yeah, and, well, if you were best friends, you trusted her.
Right.
You know. What about, how severe did it become? Were you ever hospitalized for treatment?
Luckily, no. But I was purging almost every meal.
Mm-hmm. How many times a day would you say?
At least two.
Okay.
And if I had a break in the week, I only went without purging one day of the week.
Uh-huh. But you would feel guilty.
Right.
Like, just the simple act of eating makes you feel guilty,
just,
or made you feel guilty.
Just looking at the food
really
made me feel guilty. Even the healthy stuff. Looking
mm-hmm.
at the healthy stuff, apples, bananas, I was like, oh, I can't eat that because it's going to make me fat. But
yeah, and I'll tell you, some of the students that I've seen for therapy, I can almost guess their major. Can you guess what I'm going to say? Nutrition.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of students who have eating disorder because, you're right, they get, like Dr. Luke was saying, they get very obsessed with food.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
My dad, when I came to the point that I could tell my parents, my dad said, you know, I'm not surprised because I see how much you've been obsessing over food and what's in your food, the protein, the carbs, the sugar.
Calories.
Calories.
I mean, I can ask anybody with an eating disorder just about any food, and they can tell you just like that.
That's
the
right.
Calories.
That's right. I would say that's definitely a huge indication, someone who is over-obsessed with nutrition.
Yes. What about your mom and dad? Have they been supportive in your family when you told them when
Absolutely.
They finally found out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they found out, they were. My mom was upset because she was my best friend growing up. You know, we were really close. And so she was upset that I couldn't come to her. But but my perspective there was, you know, hey, I don't want to disappoint you because it hurts me more to disappoint you. But once she got over the initial pain of that, they have been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they know that my platform for the pageant this weekend is eating disorder awareness. And they know that I've been open about it and told everybody that I've had an eating disorder.
How hard has that been?
To open up about
yes.
it?
Yes.
Surprisingly, not very hard at all. I don't know how religious our listeners are,
yes.
but this is something that God has helped me through, and He just kind of showed me that desirability and worthiness is not a one-size-fits-all.
Right. What about when you decided to get treatment? How long ago was that?
When I finally decided to get treatment, it was actually this past semester.
Uh-huh.
I think it was about October. But by the time I had gone to Dr. Luke for help,
yes.
I was actually already over the disorder, but I needed to work on getting my mind in the right place and working on maintenance. You know, earlier she was talking about the cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
It's like my actions were not those of someone with bulimia, but my thoughts were.
Exactly.
So I needed to work on that.
Yeah, and I try to talk to the students I see with eating disorders about that, because a lot mm-hmm. of times, yes, you're exactly right. They'll stop the purging or they'll stop the restrictive dieting.
Right.
But the thinking is still there, and it goes back to the low self-esteem that you mentioned.
Right.
You know? How did you get past other people making comments, or did other people make comments to you about, you know, just ugly things, I guess?
No, actually, I was very fortunate. Not many people made comments. The people that knew about it were very supportive of me
mm-hmm.
Because I was very selective in who I told.
Right.
And there were only like two or three people that knew. I think other people probably had their suspicions, but they never said anything, luckily.
Yes.
And I'm also really good at putting on a good face.
I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I think that comes along with an eating disorder, is
yes.
you get very good. And when I said something earlier to Dr. Luke about people with eating disorders being manipulative, I meant more or less very good at, like, just not coming forward with the truth sometimes because, and she
right.
mentioned, because of the shame and the guilt.
Right, kind of.
That goes along with it.
Right, kind of holding a poker face so that nobody knows.
Yeah. And for me, as a therapist, it can be very challenging working with someone with an eating disorder because of that.
Right.
Because, you know, you're doing your best to try to confront them or say what you need to say, but a lot of times it takes them a little while, I guess, to trust you.
To warm up. That's right. Absolutely.
What about, how did you gain insight into the fact that you had an eating disorder? Was it after your friend confronted you?
Yes. actually, I was telling Carson about my behavior. I kind of played it off like, oh, yeah, just when I eat, you know, junk food, then I'll, you know, go throw it up. But then she came to me one day and said, no, you have an eating disorder. You're not just throwing up the junk food. You're throwing up everything. And even so, that's not okay. You have an eating disorder. And I, of course, rejected that at first. I was like, no, I don't. This is normal. This
yeah.
is fine. But then I got to thinking about it, and I was like, you know, Carson loves me, and she wouldn't tell me that for no reason.
If it weren't true.
Right.
What about, you know, is Carson here with you at school?
She's actually an engineering student, so she's
okay.
on co-op right now.
So, but she's close. I mean,
right.
she's like, she could kind of check on you and
right.
make sure, you know.
She came this weekend to help me with the pageant and support me.
I bet she's so excited. What about other students on campus? I have no idea about how many students on our campus struggle with an eating disorder. There's not any statistics that I know of. I know Dr. Luke and I were talking about, but do you see other girls that you suspect, around you have an eating disorder?
Well, my freshman year here, there was a girl on my hall. I lived in one of the dorms with community bathrooms. Uh-huh. And there was a girl in our hall that one day, we could hear this throwing up noise, my roommate and I. And so we were like, oh, somebody's really sick.
Yes.
And then, a couple days later, we heard it again. And we're like, oh, this person's getting sick all the time. Mm-hmm. Or they've got the flu or something. And it just kept happening. And I'll be honest with you, at the time, before my eating disorder really reached its peak, I was kind of judgmental. I was like, oh, this girl, she's got this eating disorder.
Yes.
And because I've been on both sides of that now, I understand why it's important not to be judgmental. It's because that judgment causes the stigma in society, which, causes us to be hesitant to discuss it, and which really impedes upon
It's
healing.
Ironic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things you mentioned was feeling like you were losing control because of stress.
Yes.
And Carrie Luke, she talked about the need for gaining that control, and that's one of the factors in an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult, and we're fixing to go to the break. I hear the music. Jacqueline and Natalie are playing the music for us to go into break, but I want to ask you when we come back, how difficult that was to conquer. And I guess you're still in that, in that stage of controlling situations and being perfectionistic.
Right.
So when we come back, we'll come back with Miranda Ward in just a minute, but you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Voodoo Saints, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is BJ Gunther. I'm back with Miranda Ward. She's a student here. You're a junior.
Yes, ma'am.
Majoring in public relations, but she also just won the Miss University of Alabama pageant and will be representing our campus at the Miss Alabama pageant in June.
That's right.
And one of the things that Miranda just mentioned to me is being interviewed by the Crimson White, and you said it'll be in the paper hopefully Thursday.
Yes, ma'am.
They ask you about your platform, which is eating disorders, which is what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
How difficult is it, or why do you think that it is, I don't know if it's not accepted, but it causes people to kind of catch their breath when you start talking about an eating disorder and the fact that you had one?
Right. I'm not afraid to talk about it because I want to put a face on this, because I feel like the reason there is such a stigma in society is because nobody really talks about it. Nobody can relate to it unless you've been there, done that. And if you have been there, done that, then you don't want to talk about it. So I want to change that. I want to talk about it. I want to let people know what I've been through so that people can see that they're not alone.
Right, because Carrie mentioned 24 million people in the United States, have an eating disorder, whether they're getting treatment or not.
Right.
So I think you'll be a great role model for the young women and men have an eating disorder and are struggling now and hopefully are listening to this show. It's very difficult to get this information out.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been very open with what's happened to you. I mentioned before the break that we were going to talk about the control issue.
Right.
I mean, how difficult has that been for you? Because most of the people that I know that I work with who have an eating disorder are perfectionists.
Right. And I would definitely use that word to describe myself in everything I do, all aspects of my life, especially when it comes to my appearances. And so the control issue with me kind of subsided when Dr. Luke pointed out to me, hey, when you are thinking about going to eat, think, am I actually hungry?
Right.
And so I had to actively think about that. And as simple as that is, it helped a lot. And then I focused on eating healthy. And instead of counting the calories, more worrying about, okay, am I getting enough protein for the day right. that I'm supposed to get? Am I getting all the carbs that I need, the fiber and everything? So really just changing my thinking on the way I eat. And that was really hard at first. Again, back to the cognitive dissonance, it's like I was eating healthy, but I was still worrying about the calories.
Uh-huh.
But once, you know, I kept up with that, then it changed my way of thinking.
It's kind of like you have to break the habit.
Right, exactly, and that's what it is, just a habit.
It is. Do you have a nutritionist?
No, ma'am.
Because one of the things that Carrie Luke mentioned is the, you know, team effort.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who has an eating disorder to have a therapist, to have a psychiatrist, to have a nutritionist.
Right.
To kind of, I guess, monitor, not only monitor, but to also give you the tools that you need.
Right.
To succeed.
Well, when I was going through this stage, I was still ashamed. And so I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. I didn't want to see a nutritionist. So, but I still wanted to know about it. So I looked up some stuff on my own, but I made sure that I didn't go to websites that only promoted looking good. Like I didn't go to, you know, fitness websites or anything like that. I went to medical websites.
It's a good idea.
And that I feel like was the most useful information for me. So I have not seen a nutritionist, but I did learn a lot from that, and that helped.
Did you come to counseling on your own, or were you required?
I came to counseling on my own. My friend Carson,
right.
whom I mentioned earlier, she really encouraged me, and she actively tried to get me involved. And she would send me the number of the counseling center. Oh. She would tell me what times that
she didn't let go, did
people
she?
People meet. Absolutely. She held on. And she said, I will go with you if you want me to, if you can't go by yourself.
Yeah.
And so she really helped me through that, knowing that I had somebody there that wasn't judging me and that wanted to be there for me.
What, in your opinion, what has been the number one thing that has helped you the most? Has there been a resource or a tool besides therapy, of course, weekly therapy, I'm assuming. But has there been a book? You know, have you journaled? I mean, has there been one thing?
You know, this is going to sound unexpected, but actually it was exercising. But hear me out, not exercising in order to burn off calories or anything like that.
Okay.
But exercising to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of focusing on, like I said, burning the calories, I just focus on making my body feel good.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, exercising right and not excessively will make you feel fantastic. And I also changed my thinking. Instead of being like, oh, I didn't run far enough or I didn't lift enough weight, I'm thinking, look at what my body can do.
Yeah.
You know, so many people are disabled and can't do this.
True.
You know, look at me run, you know.
When it was at your worst, when you were over-exercising, how much were you over-exercising and what were you doing?
Oh, goodness. I had to burn at least 900 to 1,000 calories in a session.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just kind of depending on what I did cardio-wise.
Did you ever have any injuries because of over-exercising? I've had some girls that have had shin splints because they are just running so much.
Well,
too much.
Yeah, I get fluid on my knee, sometimes on my right knee. But that's been something that I've had ever since I played softball when I was in high school. But running definitely made that a whole lot worse. And now I have to run with a knee brace.
Oh, no. Tell us how you're involved in Body Appreciation Week. I know Carrie mentioned Body Appreciation Week, and I think she said that you were actually going to be on the panel.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that after the movie, after the film?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the extent of what you're going to be participating in?
I will be modeling for the fashion show, and I'm super excited about that because I've never modeled anything like that before. So I'm looking forward to that. And definitely, you know, if they need my help with anything else, I'd absolutely be willing.
Yeah, as Miss University of Alabama, your schedule is going to be getting a lot tighter, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it already has. Let me tell you, the next, like, 4 weekends, I have stuff every weekend. So, yeah, it's really, really tight, but, you know, I like being busy, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask you about, what's your advice if somebody either is listening to this and they feel like they have an eating disorder, but even more importantly, if you know somebody that you suspect has an eating disorder, how to approach them?
If you are struggling with an eating disorder, talk to somebody, find somebody that you can really trust, and just talk to them about it. Have somebody to hold you accountable and be there for you. And if you're a friend of that person, just like Carson did, it's kind of a trial and error thing. You have to step really lightly because people going through this are really sensitive, mm-hmm. generally.
And irritable.
Right. I know I was. And so just try something. And if that doesn't work, just change up your strategy. But if it's really serious, like really dangerous for your friend, then perhaps, you know, some kind of intervention might be necessary.
Yes.
But, you know, like Carson did, just not dropping it. She would send mm-hmm. me the number
Persistent.
To the counseling center. Mm-hmm. Right. She wasn't in my face about it. She just was like, here, in case you want to use this number, here it is. You know, because she knew that I was less likely to look at it myself. So she just did it for me.
Yeah. And I think, too, once... You tell me how you felt about this. I mean, once you're found out, you know, you probably take steps to hide it more, but it gets harder and harder and harder, you know.
Right. You know, when I first told Carson that I had the eating disorder, every time I got up to go to the bathroom, just to honestly go to the bathroom.
I bet she was there at the door. What?
Well, I wondered if she was suspicious of me, you know. And, you know, I promised her that, you know, when I finally came out of the eating disorder, I promised her that if it ever crossed my mind to go back into those behaviors, that I would call her.
Yes.
And so several times I called her crying, you know, told her, hey, I want to do this. It's killing me. Yeah. But I promised you that I wouldn't, you know. So just having somebody to hold you accountable.
I think that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And not to feel like you're in trouble.
Right, and not judging yourself for it either.
Yeah, I want to mention, too, by the way, the counseling center offers an on-call counselor 24 hours a day. If it's between the hours of 8 to 5, of course, any student can walk in or call us. But if it's between the hours of 5 p.m. and 8 a.m., you can call University Police Department, and they will get in touch with the on-call counselor in case you're going through something.
Mm-hmm.
And you need, and you don't have a Carson to talk to.
Right.
Or you need somebody to talk to. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is so special. And it's even more special now that you've been crowned, because I didn't know.
Thank you for having me and helping me to promote my platform.
Good luck. Good luck with everything. You're going to do great.
Thank you.
I want to say a few things before we go off the air. I always like to thank the people who've helped us with the show, especially Dr. Mark Nelson, who's the Vice President of Student Affairs, Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media, my production assistants and student colleagues at the Counseling Center, Natalie Beck and Jacqueline Nagel, along with the WVUA station manager, Cliff Kyle, and my two guests tonight, Miranda Ward, Miss University of Alabama, and Dr. Carrie Luke, who's my colleague at the University Counseling Center, as well as my other colleagues. We like to call each other the amazing Empathy Rangers. And Dr. Bernadette Peters, if she's listening in Niagara, New York, she was instrumental in consulting with me about how to start a show like this, and I really appreciate her support. The next topic that we're going to have next week is going to be a great one. How do I get out of this unhealthy relationship? And we're going to have Dr. Kathy Eccles from the Women's Resource Center talking about abusive relationships and how to get out of an abusive relationship, as well as an attorney, a local attorney who is an assistant district attorney here in Tuscaloosa. Her name is Lynn Head, and she represents several sexual assault victims, and it'll be interesting to hear what she has to say about getting out of an unhealthy relationship. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. This has been Brain Matters on WVUA-FM 90.7, The Capstone.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never